I'm excited because we get a chance to continue on this series that we began last week called Decisions. Turn to somebody and say, Decisions. And now that you've made your first decision today, the person that you didn't turn around and talk to the first one, you made that decision, not me, you made that decision, would you turn around and ask that other person, what are you looking at? Because that's the title of the message this morning. What are you looking at? Because I want, before I dive in too much, I want to publicly also thank Pastor Dave about 3 weeks ago and Pastor Sean last week for preaching up here. Didn't they do a fantastic job? Praise God. Praise God. But as we talk about decisions, we also understand that decisions come at us from all around. I mean, it's not just one decision or two or three. It's literally hundreds of decisions that we make every day. And sometimes we fail to recognize the fact that each and every decision isn't just a decision in itself, but it's a trajectory or it's a step and a directionality of where our life is going. And so we struggle not just with making decisions, but we struggle with realizing how important each and every decision that we make actually is. And that's why every decision that you make matters. Isn't that true? Isn't it true, Mom and Dad? So here's the question that we're going to wrestle with today. What are you looking at? Because we also understand that wherever your eyes settle, your heart is sure to follow. If you will, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. We're going to be reading there in just a few moments. So as you're turning, I'll share with you, when I was first learning how to drive, you know, my dad would take me out into a parking lot. He'd say, imagine I'm sitting a cup of coffee on this dash. Don't spill it. I'm glad he said imagine, because I sure would have spilt that cup of coffee. But one of the first things that he told me, and I've heard in dozens of places, is look where you're going. And at the first sound of that, it sounds obvious, but we don't always look where we want to go. Sometimes we look at the places that we don't want to go and we fixate on that. And later on, I found out that that's actually called something. It has a name. It's called target fixation. And it's where, as we're driving and we might see a pothole, instead of looking where we want to go, we look at that pothole and we're almost certain to hit it. And whenever you're riding a motorcycle, that becomes even more important, because a lot of times we, as we're driving that motorcycle, riding that motorcycle, we have a tendency to look at the guardrail instead of where we want to go. And the problem is that our hands have this connection with our brain, and our hands take us where we're looking rather than where we want to go. And it's not just true in vehicles, it's true also in life and in all of our circumstances. When we learn to drive, it's true. But when we learn to live life, it's also true. Think about it with me. How many advertisers do you see each and every day that are vying for your attention? Social media platforms do everything within their power to make you just look at one more video, click on one more link. We see road signs that are popping up all over to try to draw your attention, videos constantly, news outlets that are constantly talking about things that they want you to pay attention to instead of the things that matter to you, or at least they're trying to make those things that matter to them matter to you. We're trying to sway our opinion one way or the other. It's nearly impossible to not look. Between sports and entertainment, politics, money, all the success stories that you see all around us are constantly trying to make you look, because they're all constantly competing for one thing, your attention. Because everybody understands something that we often forget. What captures our attention often captures our life. Nobody wakes up in the morning one day and just decides that they're going to have an adulterous affair. Nobody wakes up in the morning and decides that they're going to be an addict. Nobody wakes up in the morning and makes a decision that they're going to go somewhere where they shouldn't be, doing something that they shouldn't do, with people that they shouldn't be with. It doesn't just happen like that. It's one decision after another that eventually develops our lives into a trajectory that replaces what we know to be right with something different in our lives. Long before your feet ever take you somewhere, your eyes are already there. And that's exactly what we find in Genesis chapter 13. This is a very common passage of scripture to hear about in church. As a matter of fact, if you've been in church for a little while, you've probably heard this passage before. It's a story. It's an account of Abraham and his nephew Lot. And God begins to bless both of their lives so much so that they can no longer inhabit the same space. As a matter of fact, this is a conflict, not between Abraham and Lot, but between their herders. Their herders began to fight each other because their independent herds, were competing for the same plot of land to graze. And Abraham and Lot get together, and they decided this is not good to allow this division to be between us. We need to do something about it. And so they climb up to a mountain, they look over, and Abraham does something quite amazing. Being the firstborn, he had the right of choice, the first choice. He could have evoked that right. He could have made the first choice, but he does something that requires a lot of trust and offers Lot the first choice, essentially, because he says, wherever you choose, if you choose left, I'll go right. If you choose right, I'll go left. You make the first choice. He honored his nephew that way. Wow. As he's making this happen, it's quite incredible. Because if this was a message about land, if this is a message about just a simple family dispute, it would be kind of boring. But this is so much more. This passage is actually based and talking about our desires, our attention, our motivations. So don't miss what's about to happen. Because as Moses writes this passage in Genesis about Abraham and Lot, he gives us some pretty amazing one-liners. As a matter of fact, this story diverges in one place, right there in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, with five powerful words. And it begins with, Lot took a long look. Turn to somebody, say, a long look. At the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you catch that? Those five powerful words. Lot took a long look. That might seem like some kind of throwaway detail or superfluous writing that Moses is just kind of flowering up the story, but it's not. He could have said it more simple, like Lot chose the Jordan Valley. But he didn't lead with what Lot chose. He tells us first what Lot looked at, because God's economy tells us something about the way that we look. What we look at is often more important than what we choose, because what we choose is a reflection of where our eyes and ultimately our heart reside. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that when we look at something, when we gaze at something, our heart has already gone before us. Notice what Lot saw. He saw something that looked like an opportunity. He saw green fields. He saw abundant water. He saw prosperity. And from a business standpoint, this was exactly what you would expect anyone to make, any decision that anyone could make. It was wise in Lot's eyes. And Moses almost wants to agree with Lot, except we continue to read on and we see one sentence that is subtly inserted into it in chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord." See, that's information that either Lot ignored or Lot just didn't find important enough to make his evaluation based on what the Lord thought about the area that he had chosen. He evaluated the land, but he failed to evaluate the spiritual environment. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. Number one, focus determines future. Focus determines future. Young people, let me tell you something so important. Your focus will determine your future. Have you ever noticed how two people can be at the same place at the same time and look at the same thing and see something completely different? Whatever you think that looks so good for your life, whatever you think that looks so amazing and so wonderful, and your parents just don't understand it, right? Your parents don't get it. You can see it. It looks wonderful. That's what all your friends are doing. That's what everybody's choosing all around you. And your parents are looking at the same situation, and they have a completely different opinion about it, and you're like, why? You just don't understand, right? It's the same thing, but you make two different decisions about it. You see, Lot saw paradise. Lot saw immediate success. Lot saw prosperity. But when Abraham looked up, Abraham saw the faithfulness of God. He heard the voice of the Lord, and he decided to care more about what the Lord said than what he saw. That's so important, because the danger of living by sight alone is that our sight can only see what's right there in front of us, but it fails to understand that your eyes can convince you to pursue what your soul can never survive. When you look at something in your life and you think that's so amazing, that's wonderful, you fail to recognize the fact that God can see further. God can understand more. God wants you to, with all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's why when we see what happened to Lot before he ever walked towards Sodom, he saw it and he admired it. Before he ever lived in Sodom, he looked at it. Because your focus determines your future. Now look again what Moses emphasizes. He doesn't begin by telling us what Lot chose. He begins by telling us what Lot saw. He says, Lot took a long look. A long look. Lot saw a marvelous landscape with, in remarkable detail, the Jordan Valley is well watered everywhere. Moses even tells us that it was like the Garden of God, or it reminded him of Egypt. As before, it was all destroyed by God. And from a human standpoint and perspective, this was an easy and a wise decision. But oftentimes what looks like it's wise ends up being dangerous to us. But Moses quietly inserts a detail that we saw in verse 13. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. Did you notice where Moses places this sentence in this passage? He places it right there. Not before Lot looked, not before Lot evaluated the land, not before Lot made his calculation. He tells us after he described what attracted Lot to this area. It's almost as if Moses is saying, before you congratulate Lot on his excellent choice, think about what's about to happen. He said, Moses wants us to understand that Lot evaluated the opportunity but failed to evaluate the influence. He measured the economic potential, but he ignored the spiritual fact about his decision. And if we're not careful, we'll make the same mistake as Lot. We become experts on evaluating everything that we see, and we, at the same time, stop and refuse to think about or pray or pause or consider what the Lord might see in front of us. And that's why the Bible tells us over and over and over again how important it is not to walk by sight alone, but to walk by faith and not by sight. Because God knows what's on the other side of that decision. We ask things like, what's the salary? What's the neighborhood like? What's the school district like? Will this make me happy? Will this advance my career? And I'm not saying that those are bad decisions. Those are bad questions. Those are good questions. But they're not the only questions we should ask. As a matter of fact, they're not the most important questions that we should ask. Lot wasn't wrong for noticing the green grass, but Lot was wrong for failing to notice the influence. He evaluated the opportunity and ignored the environment. He measured the financial potential without understanding the spiritual cost. If we ask these questions over and over again, maybe the question isn't simply, is this a good opportunity? But the better question is, will this move me closer to God or farther from Him? Will this bring me closer to my Savior? Will this bring me closer to the goals that He has for my life? Will this end result in blessing my life with His presence? And we often forget about that question. So before you make your next big decision, don't just ask, what's the right choice? Ask something deeper. Not, is this a good opportunity, but the better question is, will this move me closer to Him? Ask yourself, where is my attention? What has my attention? What am I looking at? Because oftentimes, if we're not trusting in Him, we're also not looking at Him. Because eventually our eyes will lead us where our heart is already at. Maybe today, God is inviting you to change the direction you're going by changing where you look. Because your focus determines your future. Number two, I want to tell us this morning that faith sees farther than sight. Turn to somebody and say, faith sees farther. Have you ever noticed that God often asks us to look at something that we can't really fully see all at the same time? Yep. That was pretty strong. Yeah. Amen. Think about it. All through Scripture, we see God coming to people and God declaring something, or God asking them, God inviting them, or God commanding them to do something, and they can't see the full decision. They only see a part of it. People like Noah. Noah, build your ark. There's going to be rain. That sounds fine, God. One question. What's rain? Right? Moses, deliver the children of Israel and go this way. That's fine, God, but you realize that you're leading us to the Red Sea, right? There's not a path through there. Joshua, take the army and march around the city. Well, that's fine, God, but the wall is still there, and it's really, really strong. In each and every one of those cases, and so many more in our lives, God is calling us not to what we can understand, not what we can see, not what we can evaluate with our eyes, with our logic, with our mind, but calling us to take a step out on faith, because faith sees farther than sight. And the contrast couldn't be more striking, because in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes, and I want you to notice what happens in a few moments later in verse 14. After Lot had gone, turn to somebody and say, after Lot had gone. the Lord said to him, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. One man was guided by what he could see, and the other was guided by the voice of the Lord. Amen. And humanly speaking, he had received the short end of the deal. Abraham got the short end of the deal. I can only imagine what Abraham was feeling like at that moment. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in my family growing up, you know, sitting around the dinner table, everybody would, you know, get whatever they wanted to out of the plate, you know, and put it on their plates. And whenever it came to the last thing left in the dish, and there's hungry people all around, they'd say, no, 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 you go ahead and take it. Oh, I couldn't possibly. You take it. And everybody would want it, but it would remain in the dish, and we put it in the refrigerator because we can't be the ones that take the last or the best or whatever it is. It's a flaw in my family. Now I would just, okay, thank you. I guess it's having three boys living at the same house. Give me that right now, son. If you don't do it fast enough, you get your fingers bitten. And you think about how Abraham must have felt. Okay, Lot, go ahead and choose. I think you know what to do here. Yes, I do. I'll take the green one. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And Lot runs away, probably very happy with himself for making what he, in his estimation, was a wonderful decision. And Abraham's left up there, and he looks around, and he thinks to himself, I just got a desert for all my herd. And God instructs him after Lot had gone, look around. And he makes this amazing promise. Everything that you see will be yours in every direction. What a promise. But if anyone had a reason to question God's plan, it was Abraham, because it just didn't make sense. Why would I even want everything I see here? But watch something that's very important. And verse 14 begins with, after Lot had gone. I want you to understand that sometimes God has to remove the distractions in our life before he makes the promise. God needs to separate us out and sit us down aside of everything else that's going on. Abraham was still probably sitting there stirring and stewing about the fact that he doesn't get the good land. What have I done? Have I made a wrong decision? Have I basically alienated my family to live in a desert community where it's not going to have even enough to sustain my flocks, my herds, let alone my own family? What have I done? But God was there, and he separated them all from the distraction of the Jordan Valley, from the distraction of his nephew, and spoke to him while he was all alone. Said, now raise up your eyes. And in other words, Abraham, don't evaluate your future based on only what you can see. Don't evaluate your future based on what you think you've lost. Evaluate your future based on what I'm about to promise you. Wow. Because I want you to understand that anything that God promises you, he will always provide you. Genesis chapter 13, verse 15, he continues, I'm going to give you this land as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. Then he makes an even greater promise in verse 16, whenever he goes on and says, and I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Do you understand how extreme this must have been for Abraham to grasp, having no children at that moment and not understanding even how he could have children? And then being promised not just children, but nations and descendants and everything that he just got promised permanently. He couldn't begin to wrap his mind around the promises of God, yet he still trusted the Lord in this moment. The voice of the Lord was enough for him to have faith in. You see, Abraham's faith didn't ignore his reality. Faith simply believed that God was doing more than Abraham could see or even imagine. And most of us, that's the case. We don't struggle with the individual choices. We don't struggle with what we can't see. We struggle because we can only see what's right in front of us. We see a bank account. We see a doctor's report. We see rejection letters. We see layoff papers. We see a bare pantry. We see a relationship that's falling apart. We see an opportunity lost. And it's not that we don't care. It's not that it's not real. But if we're not careful, we'll begin to interpret God's faithfulness through the circumstances around us instead of interpreting the circumstances around us based in God's faithfulness. And that is so important for us. That's exactly what faith does. Faith doesn't deny the reality around us. Faith simply believes that God is doing more than what we can see at the moment. Abraham looked at a barren land, and God saw inheritance. Abraham looked at an empty home, and God saw generations. Abraham looked at the limitations, and God saw nothing but his promise that was going to carry him through. And church, that's the difference between living by faith and living by sight. Sight says, this is all that there is. And faith says, but God's character and God's promises and God's word and God's move in my heart say something different than what's all around me. When faith trusts what God has said, faith sees farther than sight. So what does that look like this week for our lives? The next time you make a decision in your life, instead of just evaluating everything that you see, understand that there's more that's going on than what you can ever believe. As you're making decisions about your relationships or about going back to school, by the way, going back to school is not a decision you can make, actually. Sorry, some things aren't just not your decisions. That's a different sermon series, though. You make a decision and you evaluate it based on God's character and his promises over your life, not just by what you can see alone, because God calls us to do more than to walk by sight. He calls us to walk by faith and not by sight, because faith sees farther than sight. Number three, every step has a destination. Every step has a destination. And one of the greatest lies that the enemy could ever tell us as people of God is that your decision, even the little ones, aren't important. It's just another decision. It's just a little thing. It's just a short text. It's just a conversation. It's just a website. It's just a drink. It's just a thing. It's just a this or it's just a that. And it's just the one little step. But when we do that over and over and over again, it's not just a step. It's a way of life. It's the way that we walk in each direction. Each step has a destination in and of itself. We fail to understand that. We fail to understand how important each decision is, because each decision is a step on the journey that the Lord has for us. The problem is that we rarely recognize the power of a single step or of a single decision, because it's the only thing that we can see at the moment. But God sees the destination. That's why Scripture places such an emphasis on the path that we take or the way that we walk with Christ. Because every path leads somewhere. Every path leads somewhere. No one just wakes up and sees Sodom. They walk to it. If Genesis chapter 13 was the end of the story, then we'd begin to think that Lot did all right for himself. What a great decision. Good job, Lot. But the story actually goes on. He didn't stop writing at 13. Later on in that passage, in that chapter, he goes on to say that Lot and his family went and set up camp near Sodom. And then we go to the next chapter, and we read a little bit, and we find out in chapter 14 that Lot now lives in Sodom. And with a little time that passes in chapter 19, right before the angel of the Lord comes to destroy Sodom, the angel of the Lord comes and to rescue Lot and finds Lot at the gates of Sodom. Now, the gates are not just simply a geographic location, but it's a statement about how interwoven Lot's life became in that society. Because the gates were a place of business. It was a gate. It was a place where the leaders of the town made judgments. It was a place where business was conducted. And here we see from chapter 13 to chapter 19, one step, one decision. I'll go to this fertile valley. I'll live near it. I'll live in it. I'll be a leader of it. It didn't happen all at once. It just happened decision by decision, moment by moment, step by step. But every step is a destination. Every step can take you further than you want to go and cost you more than you could ever imagine paying. And young people, I want you to understand this so much. That you may think that what you do here and now doesn't have an impact on your life. You, as a matter of fact, that goes for each and every one of us. You might think, well, I'm only in my 20s. That's when I'm supposed to live it up, right? Well, I'm only in my 30s. I'm not even to midlife yet. Well, I'm in my 40s. Listen, I feel you there. Let's just take a break for a second. I'm already tired. And each and every moment of your life, season of your life, you think to yourself, well, I've got a little bit more time. But the greatest lie that the enemy could ever tell you in this moment is, it doesn't matter. You got more time. You got more decisions to make. It's just one step. You can go back anytime you want to. But every step has a destination. Do you see the progression? And it's not just a progression for Lot to Sodom. It's a progression for us as we begin to make decisions without stopping and pausing and seeking wise counsel and praying and asking God, what do you want from me? Where should I go? What should I do? Because every day that you make a decision, you're becoming something. And you're going somewhere. And the question is, are you headed to Jesus? Or are you headed away from him? And for many of us today, if we were to be honest with ourselves, we would pause and take a knee and we say, where am I going? What am I doing? What am I looking at? My prayer for you all this week and especially today is that the Holy Spirit would right now begin to nudge your heart, not because you're a bad person, because God genuinely loves you and desires for you to change your destination. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And with every decision that we make, Every step that we take in the wrong direction is a step closer to death. But there's something wonderful and marvelous about the mercy and grace of God, because every step that we can take, although it leads to death, there is one gift. It's the gift of God through his son Christ that represents eternal life. And if you could walk from a million decisions and a million moments away from God, God stands here with his arms open wide and says, all you have to do is turn around and take one step, and you'll be exactly where you need to be. One step. You don't need an Uber. You don't need to find a taxi. You don't need to go on a 12-step program. Listen, all you have to do is say, God, I'm not where I want to be because of the decisions that I made, from the choices that I've made, from the sin in my life. My decisions have wound me up here. But God, I turn around and I fix my eyes on you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I fix my eyes on you, not to the left or to the right, but to you where my help comes from. And I'm sorry for the decisions that I made, but I want you so badly. I can't make it on my own. I need your help. And in that moment, God comes and he picks us up and he takes us every other step of the way. Not because of anything that we can do, not because of how strong we are, not because of how wise we are or good at making decisions. Because can I tell you, you've already proven that you cannot make good decisions for your life. If you don't believe that, just look in the mirror. But it's because of the grace, the love, the mercy, the compassion of an everlasting Father that sent his one and only Son into the world, not so that he could condemn the world, but so that the world through him might have everlasting life. That's the purpose, that's the reason, that's the opportunity that you and I have to become right with God. So this morning, I would ask you simply to ask yourself, what are you looking at? Would you stand all around this room with me? In this moment, this is a private moment, so I'd ask you to not look around. Just bow your head and close your eyes so that you can give yourself and the people around you some privacy in this moment, because this is so personal. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor John, my life is not headed in the right direction. And I know it's because of the decisions that I make. And I know that there's nothing I can do to make it right. I can't go back in time and take back the things I've said or the things I've done. I can't remake my decisions. I'm here and I don't know what to do. But if you say Jesus can help me, that's what I want. Friend, Jesus isn't here to help you. He's here to bring you back to life. He's not here to make a bad person a good person. He's here to make a dead person a living person, and only he can do that. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I want to invite the Lord into my heart to get rid of all this junk, get rid of all the sin and all the shame and all the guilt, and set me on the right path. If that's you here today, I want to invite you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to know that I'm praying, who I'm praying for. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Looking all around. Wow. Looking all around. That's me, Pastor. I want you to pray for me. I want to invite the Lord into my life this morning. Wow. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for these hands that have been raised, for they represent the lives, Lord, that have been redeemed this morning. Lord, our prayer partners come to the front right now as we begin to pray. If you raised your hand this morning and you would like to receive the Lord as your Savior, I want you to come down to the front and meet with a prayer partner, begin to pray with them and they'll pray with you. But if you're here today also and you need prayer about a decision that you're making or about a place that you're going or about a marriage or about a sickness or about a direction in your life, whatever decision that is in front of you, and you want just somebody to agree with you on it, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to pray, or maybe you've just been doing it so long, you just are so tired and you just want to connect with somebody. If that's you, just come on down. We want to have a moment in time where we can pray with you. Begin to step out all over this place right now and begin to trust the Lord to guide you in the right place, the right decision that you'd make. Would you begin to step out this morning? Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to change directions in this moment. It's not by our power or our own ability, Lord, or our wisdom or our vision, but Lord, it's by you and by your grace and love and mercy in our lives. And Lord, right now, as you move across this place, I pray, God, that you would help us not just to take all the steps at once, but take one step of faith, Lord, to commit to you. Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus. Help us to understand that our faith sees further than sight. Lord, help us to understand, Lord Jesus, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives and every decision that we make. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, I want to pray a very special prayer. If you're a student in this place, whether you're in middle school or high school or college, going to Votech, wherever you are, would you just come down to the front and join me right here in the middle? Yeah, come on. Come on, it's all right. Wow. You may not know about this, but this is back to school week for many of our students. In just a few days, thousands upon thousands of students all over this area are going to go back to school. Some of them are going to school for the first time. We're not going to invite those kids in here. Don't worry about that. Some of them are going to be seniors this year, going to college. But every one of them, every one of you, you're not just making a decision about the schedule that you're going to have or where you're going to sit in class. But there's even more decisions that you're going to make about who your friends are going to be and what sports you're going to compete in, what classes you're going to take. And each one of those decisions will affect the trajectory of the rest of your life. Things like who you're going to date, who you're going to talk to, who you're going to text. Can I tell you something? You may be scared. You may not know. But God has a perfect plan in place for your life if you trust Him. So give God a chance for your life. Put Him first in all of you do, all that you do. That's what the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things that we worry about, we fret, we think, we call, we talk, we text, we do all these things, worried about it, all those other things will be added unto you when you do the thing that you should up front. You do it right the first time. Don't make God the last alternative. Make Him the first choice. And avoid a lifetime of misery and problems because you can't go back in time and rewrite the past, but you can trust God with one step right now today. Parents, grandparents, friends, and congregation, I want to invite you right now to come down to the front. Could you, students, just kind of spread out so that people can gather around you and pray? Right now, it's all right. Let's kind of go this way too. I want to invite parents and grandparents to on the back side of them and in front of them. Let's just pray for these students going back. And remember, we've got some nursery and we've got some kids' church kids in the back, y'all, they need lots of prayer. So if you're a grandparent or you're somebody in here, you don't have anybody to pray for in there, would you kindly pray for those groups of students as well as we go to the Lord? Heavenly Father, Lord, these students represent lives and choices Lord, we love them so very much, but Lord, we can't go to every class. We can't walk down every hallway. We can't be on every conversation, Lord. So the only thing that we can ask you to do, Lord Jesus, is fix their eyes on you so that they see, Lord, everything in their life through your lens, the lens of faith, but that they would recognize that their foundation is found in you and on you, that their life is lived through you, and every other option, every other thing is a substitute. Every other thing is fake and phony and leads to death and destruction and hardship. Every other thing leads, Lord, in a place that they don't want to take their life, because in you we have life and we have joy and peace. Lord, help them, Lord Jesus, to fix their eyes on you. Help us, Lord, to support them in their decisions. Lord, help us to support them as they walk in you and they trust you with their life. Lord Jesus, give us wisdom and discernment, Lord, on how to guide them. Lord, let what we tell them be words, Lord, that we've heard you speak. Or Lord, let them be moments in our life that we draw on your character and on your word and on your promises. Lord, we pray against an enemy that would seek nothing to kill, steal, and destroy them. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your word, Lord, and your spirit would be the top priority of their life. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Let's continue to worship and pray just for a moment.
Focus determines your future. Faith sees farther than sight. Every step as a destination, amen. When God gives you a promise, he will provide for you. As believers, we walk by faith and not by sight, because we are a faith people. That's what we learned today. So I encourage you now just to take that to your mission field as you go out these doors today. So be encouraged. Love the Lord, spend time with him every day, spend some time in worship every day, and come back next Sunday. We'll see you again, amen. Go with the Lord.